You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Week I've been talking about the NFL because obviously it's back. Obviously, look, we're a week away from today from starting NFL football. But if you know the woman to my right, you know that it's about football north of the border talk time. Because why? This is one of the highlight, not the highlight, I'd say the biggest highlight weekend in the CFL apart from Grey Cup Sunday, right? And by the way, guys, Sarah said to my right. So Sarah, apart from that question, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me again.
No problem, no problem. But like I was saying earlier, though, would you agree that this is probably the biggest CFL weekend apart from the Grey Cup weekend?
Definitely. People usually say that the CFL season doesn't start until Labor Day, as in like the games don't necessarily mean as much as they would starting Labor Day and moving forward. I personally don't agree with that, mainly because I just love the CFL any week. but for sure, I mean, it's a big deal. There's big rivalries, right? That's I think why, you know, people love it so much is also because it's based in, you know, Canadian history. It's like these rivalries started during Labor Day weekend.
That's just the thing, too. And for three of the four games we have this weekend, it's all either provincial-based or within, like, provincial borders where they're so close to where it's just not only do the teams not like each other, but the fans do not like each other. There's, like, I've been to both Argo Ticat games this year, and you see signs on opposite ends where it's just chirp after chirp thrown back at each other. And before we go into the games, anything like that, I know for the game that you and I assume you'll be there Monday afternoon at Tim Hortons Field.
100%.
Same with me. Thank you, Brandon. I just got my confirmation yesterday. I know that for Hamilton, regardless of their record, because this year hasn't been the best, they're coming off a big win. And I know, though, that they will be getting up to play this game Monday afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. I mean, yes, they came off a big win, a surprising one, to be honest. Nobody really thought that would happen in BC, especially as BC was pretty much had not lost at home this entire season. And they've also been, you know, a top Grey Cup contender that we were talking about from the very beginning. So it's just funny how Hamilton, who the week prior lost to the Edmonton Elks, who didn't have a win, who were like, what, 0-9, were, you know, beat the Ticats were beat by the Elks. The week later, they end up having a big win on their, you know, on their table. So it's going to be an interesting game. I mean, I'm going to be honest, the Argos are going off this year, and I feel like it'll likely be just Argos Nation out here, unfortunately, at Tim Hortons Field. But it's going to be a good game regardless. Like, there might be, you know, some unexpected surprises.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And, like, the Argonauts are forced this year, but then Hamilton, too. Like, look, they had the embarrassing loss against Edmonton, which I took the Elks that game. I just had a weird feeling going into it. I'm like, this feels like if the Elks were going to win a game, this was it. Now they've won two in a row, so we'll see what happens there. But from a Toronto perspective, and I feel like from a Hamilton perspective, see, if Toronto wanted to continue their dominance, even though Friday it was not pretty against Calgary, but they got the job done, and you got a Hamilton team coming off a big win against the BC Lions team, like you said, not lost at home all year, looked incredible at home, shut out Edmonton twice, amongst other games, even too, I believe they, one of the games they just absolutely dominated Calgary, and they've beaten Winnipeg in Winnipeg. But you now have I'm basically going full circle with this because Hamilton's wanting to prove something. Their fans want to shut up Toronto Argonaut fans. For as much like, look, I love that we both bleed double blue, but we know at the end of the day for Hamilton Tiger Cat fans, they want this win. They want to go basically and just shut up Toronto, especially to. On the news today, like I said, if you guys go with my Twitter, I'll have an article out soon, that Chad Kelly locked up for three more years in Toronto as their quarterback. So there's so much ammo in this game for Hamilton to just want to come up and just leave the home fans happy. Because I remember in July, they were leaving early.
Yeah. I mean, of course, definitely Hamilton does want to win this one for multiple reasons. One, the rivalry game. Two, they haven't been doing as well as they have wanted, you know, this year. Obviously, unfortunately, the injury of Bo Levi Mitchell really just kind of messed up the plans or messed up the momentum even. James Butler, one of the best. I will stand by that till forever and ever. Like, if there's one thing that Tie Cats have, it's James Butler. He's entertaining. He racks up yards. He scores. Like, he's just one of the best. And of course, he played a big role with that win against BC with his former team. But of course, the Hamilton, you know, fans and team themselves do want this win. And especially because they're hosting the Grey Cup this year. I think for them, it's a lot of it is riding on the fact that, like, everybody's going to come and see whoever play in the Grey Cup. But of course, they're hoping that it's them. And they're hoping that they still have that chance to make the playoffs and get to that point. Chad Kelly, I mean, it's huge for the Argos, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not just because, first of all, let me just say this. I've said this 100 times. This is a new era of the Argos, period. It started last year and carried into this year. If last year didn't happen, this year wouldn't happen for multiple different reasons. But this year in itself, I would even argue, is even another era from last year, even though they are carrying that on. Like, they're probably going to be, you know, in the Grey Cup again. That's my prediction. But it's huge for Toronto because Chad Kelly has been very vocal about the fact also that he wants to go back to the NFL. You know, of course, his uncle is a huge NFL legend that's been bred into his mind since he was pretty much born. You know, he has been incredible since he was young as well, right? He got trained by the best, you know, family members, as well as, of course, had, I'm sure, like, the best staff, people to teach him how to be that go-to quarterback. And he unfortunately struggled, and I say struggled not on the field, I say struggled like in his personal life and whatnot off the field, to stay in that position to become that NFL quarterback that, you know, he wanted to be so badly, I'm sure. And it happens, but it ultimately led him here. And I will say, like, I've spoken to him a bunch of times about, you know, his journey and whatnot. And of course, he's used to almost people scrutinizing him because of his past. He's used to that type of energy, you know, oh, he has to explain himself, or he has to always mention, you know, I grew, I got better, I'm, you know, more mature now. And he really is. And that's the great thing, is we're not only seeing that in just in terms of, like, yes, he's still a good quarterback on the field and he's developing in that way, but we're also seeing it, in the actual locker room. Like, you can see the vibes are high. He's every single interview he does, he ends it with "Go Argos," right? He's locked in, he's ready to go. Everybody can see that, and he's performing well. And so, one, it's well-deserved that he had this 3-year contract. Two, it's huge for the Argos because they're, you know, basically locking in their future and thinking, okay, we're gonna make sure that we win. That's their mentality in this. And it's also a culture thing. It's a huge thing that I think a lot of times people talk about it, but I think undervaluing it, you know. Of course, we can look at the numbers. He has like 6 rushing touchdowns this season already. Crazy for a quarterback, in my opinion, but especially in a passing league. but it's also behind the scenes. Any TikTok you see of them, their account or on their personal stuff, they're laughing, they're joking, they're, you know, having fun. He's part of the mix. Like, that type of energy of that connection between all the guys is huge. And the fact that they're trying to keep that energy going, it's not going to end, in my opinion. I think it's really just the beginning. He's learned the game here in the Canadian football game, and he's committed to it. And he's also going to be the highest paid CFL athlete, which is bonkers, because this is his first season technically as a starter. I don't even count that game last year against Montreal. I don't really count it. It didn't mean anything. It was the literal last game of the season. Like, it was just whatever. He did okay. It was fine. But this year, just the fact that this is his first year and he's getting paid more than guys who have been here 10 plus years. Let's just take that in. 10 plus. Wild. And congrats to him and the Argos.
Well, the news actually broke today. So when I was down in practice, it was this agent who basically made an Instagram about it. And that's where all his reporters, it was from Dave Naylor, basically broke wind of it, where it was like, yeah, hey, so his agents out there posting, because obviously CFL players, their salaries aren't disclosed. And everyone's thinking, you know, hey, it's the 25 grand a year, plus you're a gym teacher in the offseason, which, look, a lot of them may go that route after they play. But I think the lowest paid guy is like 60 or 70, somewhere in there. So they're still like able to make a decent living. But with the Chad Kelly points, and even today, like, he was very, very thankful for his opportunity. He basically, like, took the chance to learn, like, hey, I made my mistakes. The past is the past. I can only look to the future. I can only look ahead. I completely agree with you. Like, they have the videos, too, where it's like, how many holes does a straw have? What's your favorite chip flavor? He's in them, and he's actually answering it instead of being like, no, 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 I'm good, I'm good. It's like he's involved. Like, I see that attitude. Like, because every game I've been to at BMO, and even the one in Hamilton, there's a sense of just brotherhood, and there's a culture built within that I think starts from the head down that has pinball written over it. You have Dinwiddie, who also is locked up to a long-term extension. That's something I asked Pinball about today, just a general, hey, you have two pillars of your organization locked up long-term. And it's basically showing that this team is committed to winning. Because on Friday, some people, I think we're getting the impression of, hey, this could be a one-and-done thing. You know, they run the table, they go all in, win in Hamilton. But I think they're trying to build up that culture of what they were when Pinball was a player in the Doug Flutie days of the Toronto Argonauts. So ultimately, we'll wait and see what happens. But this is a team right now that if you look at them on paper, I even look at their schedule and I'm like, besides that Winnipeg game, every other game they have this season is winnable. So it's ultimately them against the world. And I think I still feel like this, that it's they are, if they do eventually not make it or they don't get to the goal of making it, I feel like it's because they will have been their own worst enemy instead of getting outplayed by a team. It's just, look, simple mistakes here and there. But like even Friday, offense was playing good, defense was playing okay. You let 32 get loose and it's trouble for the opposing team, as we saw. So this team is versatile on all three sides of the football.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Pinball, one of the best ever on the field and off the field.
Nicest human being.
100, he's the nicest person you will ever meet, period. I will make that statement. And also, like, he really impacts the organization, the players, whatnot. And like you said, yeah, like, and so I will say this. Obviously, it's good that Chad is accountable, taking accountability for the past and you know, open to sharing and talking about it and you know, talking about how he's grown and stuff like that. That's amazing. That's commendable. That's what a leader should do. But I think we need to let it go. Like, I feel like at this point, we don't need to be talking about, not you, I'm just saying, generally speaking, I think we've reached a point. I think this deal today has reached a point where it's like, this is a new Chad Kelly that we can just focus on the good at this point. You know, like we're really, you know, benefiting from him essentially, as from the league is benefiting, the fans are benefiting, the team is benefiting, the city is benefiting. Ultimately, I think shout out to him, you know, well deserved, and he should, you know, he doesn't even need to address that anymore. He is Chad Kelly. He's taking control. He's doing his thing. And what I like about that this Argos team is that it feels like they're all getting a chance to shine in some capacity.
Yes.
Like the fact that one Chad Kelly, this is just one other thing about Chad Kelly. Like one thing you'll notice is he has a handshake with like every single receiver. You know, they score a touchdown, they make a big play, first down, whatever. That, first of all, how do you remember all of that? Because I can, but also that's the mind of a quarterback, right? He's able to remember a million things and plays and whatnot in his mind. Yeah. That makes sense. But you know, he Bill has that bond with everyone. You're seeing DeVars Daniels go off. Let's give a clap for him because he's always been an incredible athlete, incredible receiver, but he did not get the chance before to really show that. You know, he had He had one, I think it was 180 yard. Yeah, that game. He had three touchdowns.
The three touchdowns against Ottawa.
I will never forget this. I keep repeating it like this whole past week. I've told like five people, but like he basically said, I haven't done that since high school. Like I literally was like, I can't remember the last time that I did that. But that just shows, you know, Chad Kelly and his receivers have a trust among them, and not even just the receivers, obviously running backs as well. You got Andrew Harris, you know, legend last year in playing in the league, as well as AJ Ouellette. Like it's just, it's the relationships that really translate onto the field, and you're seeing so many guys get the opportunities and really scoring and making numbers. And you're right, like I think ultimately if they fail, quote unquote, knock on wood, I'm not right now, I think you're right, it'll just be like mistakes that it may be unexpected or something, but I don't think that any other team is really capable of beating them in the way that maybe other teams have been beat this season in an unexpected way. I honestly love it too, because they are the defending champions and they're performing as such. I think people really were like, if you saw the power rankings, in like preseason or first week or whatever, it was like, because they didn't play the first week, they were on a bye, whatever. They were like third, I guess. And here's the thing, I get it. I know why, right? Because last year, we didn't even know what Chad Kelly was capable of. We had no idea. So people were like, I guess he's, you know, going to be new, so maybe not as good. Put him a bit lower. But they're acting as defending champions should, and they're, it's just the beginning, in my opinion. And I'm excited to see what happens. I mean, I think there's bound to be, especially with a long season, a long regular season, there's bound to be like moments where they maybe don't, you know, win all the time. But I think ultimately, like securing that number one spot, them getting that bye likely, right? They need that bye because they haven't had a bye or they've had three byes, sorry, but they're not going to have a bye in the last chunk. Is going to be super important. And you're right. Like they're playing Hamilton twice, I think Ottawa twice and Montreal twice. So it's like all the East teams, which frankly they can beat. Montreal is pretty good. I will say like they're Montreal is a question mark in my mind. They can just,
they're a roller coaster.
Yeah. They're kind of like, I love that for them. I mean, and that's a whole other conversation because of the struggles they face in the off season with the changes. But yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I'm an Argos fan, so that's number one. Obviously, I'm excited in that regard, but also they're so much fun to watch. I think if you're gonna, I mean, I know you have some American guys or people fans watching this. Please watch the Argos if you're gonna watch one team.
But even the trainer has a handshake with Tavares. It was actually That's just the thing too. Like even the coordination on that handshake is crazy. Like I was actually the one who asked him, saying, "Hey, you got three touchdowns. How does it feel?" I even remember too early in the season, that game against BC, they were an underdog, and I was like, "That just doesn't feel right." What they go out there and do, they shut them up. Robertson Daniel, three pick performance, and even the player that, even a guy like Cameron Dukes, he's the quarterback sneak specialist. Like he's in there getting. I think he has three or four touchdowns on the year. So it's just a completed team effort that they take one week at a time, which is the best thing that they can do. Because a lot of people look ahead. A lot of people, like, always look to their next opponent. Meanwhile, with them, it's just, hey, one game at a time. And this team also had 6 weeks between games at BMO Field, which I think goes very unnoticed. But in that stretch, they lost. And it's like the whole season, too. They lost the one game against Calgary. Besides that, this team's been basically not – they've been nonstop. Yeah. And even to your point about the play, like the no bye coming up, yeah, like it's something that they have to go through, and especially too right now because they are injured. It looks like – Deshaun is on the 6-game injured list. No one knows the full. Yeah,
that was a horrible moment. Let me just say that. If you want to talk about good, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but if you want to talk about good people and good player, Deshaun Amos, number one on the list, best human being, best athlete. That's all I'll say. And I wish him the best recovery because that was a hard moment. I don't know. Did you watch it live?
Yeah, I was right there in the press box. We didn't realize what happened, and then the stretcher was coming out and everything like that. And then after the game, he's just rolling along. He's got even at practice day. You know those like scooter things where people like you rest your knee, but you're in a cat. He's in an air like one of those like walking casts. But then he's just like scooting along, like life's good and everything like that. And I'm just like, damn! Like even a guy like Enoch goes and plays all year. Like I look at him and I'm like, you're just the vibes guy. Like he just literally brings like this. There's just such a good vibe around this team. Like it's something that you can't get attracted to. And the one thing I'll say before we get into this weekend's games with Chad is, I asked him this. Look, because for all the major Toronto sports teams, there's a player you can attach yourself to. Like you know. Austin Matthews, there's Vlad Guerrero Jr., Insignia, Bernadeschi, for the people who also share BMO Field, the Argos and Toronto FC, even like Pascal for the Raptors. I feel like Chad Kelly is that person now to where fans of Toronto Argonauts or people who want to be, who are slowly becoming a fan of the Argonauts, they can attach themselves to him because we've got this, I would say this, for as good as Ricky Ray was, I feel like this is the first star quarterback that Toronto fans can sink their teeth into since Damon Allen. No disrespect to the other guys, but I just feel like even like Zach Kolaros, he was only here for a little term. He never had true success with the team. But this feels like the first star, like quarterback that's like going to revitalize the franchise since the Damon Allen days. And those were like 15, 20 years ago. So it's been a while, but it's good to see that, look, fans are coming out because like Friday night was a hugely attended game and that this team's got a winning pedigree right now. So it's just a combination of winning.
100%. I totally agree. And I think it's also a perfect fit because there's multiple reasons. Let me just listen and I can move on. But one, I just want to mention, like, you're right. And it's exciting. And it's so important, right, that he is that guy. Because one, he's pretty young. I mean, as a, like, you know, guys will stay sometimes till they're like, what, 36, I think Trevor Harris is at the moment. The quarterbacks can stay in the league. You know, we've seen even with Tom Brady set the tone of like an older quarterback. So he's 29 yes. right now, 3 years to go for sure, sign the contract. So I can only assume maybe another 3 years after that. So the fact that he's young, we can like rely on him being here. One, two, he started with the Argos. Last year was his first year in the CFL, and so he's Argos true to the core. He yes. helped win the Grey Cup, which I feel like makes a big difference because we saw him be a champion with his team, and he was the guy that made it, helped make it happen. And then also the fact that Buffalo fans and Argos fans or Toronto people are like intertwined, and his, you know, legacy is with, you know, family legacies with the Buffalo Bills. He's from Buffalo. He went to high yes. school in Buffalo. So it's just like the perfect storm. So I'm excited.
So am I. I'm excited too. And that's like, cause that's the thing like here, like where I've been saying to open this show, like it's been NFL. Cause obviously we're a week away from that, but then Labor Day, like I said, we got four games Saturday. It's weird though. No Friday night football, but this is the last week of Sunday or Monday football.
Even Thursday. For CFL. I was like, where's my Thursday night game? There's no game tonight.
No Thursday night football tonight. No, I kind of agree with the NFL doing this, CFL doing this, where, like, look, they understand they can't go against the NFL just because it's, like, at the end of the day, they're the kings, and it's just kind of like, we'll do our thing. And with that being said, look, we have to wait till Saturday night, but this is a game that truly intrigues me in BC versus Montreal, because you have a BC team coming off a really bad loss to Hamilton, and we have a Montreal team who's sneakingly, like, right there with Toronto. They're only two games back. So with this game, like, I look at it, I like the Lions to win, but I like the Alouettes to keep it close. Like, I don't think this is going to be a blowout, especially too, because, like, look, last week, both teams got killed. Both teams just did not have good weeks. I thought with just before you talk, I just want to say something about the Thursday game. I remember seeing 20-17. I write weekly betting columns for Crier Media, and I said, you know what? I think only Montreal is going to keep it close with Winnipeg. I wake up, I see 47-17, and I'm like, what the hell happened here? Like, it's just everything went off the walls in the second half. But with this being said, though, I still like – so BC is -3.5. I like that number, but, like, I like it to be, like, Montreal to not go down without a fight, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, this is – I've actually asked multiple people about this game. Everyone literally just pauses. It can go both ways because it really can go both ways. Both these teams are pretty strong. I mean, obviously, BC – if you were to ask me this question, like, 2 weeks ago, I'd been like, obviously, BC. Not because Montreal's bad, but because BC was dominating and they brought something – a different kind of energy. Their offense was crazy, you know. And now we're seeing that there might be some – holes in that team, and not that they're a bad team whatsoever. It's just that, like, we just didn't expect them to have maybe certain losses and go through certain things. So now that's we're seeing, exactly. And like Montreal is pretty solid. And this is what we're talking about Montreal and how they're surprised. Mm-hmm. They're surprising the season is their off season was bad. It was just stressful for everyone involved as a fan, as an organization, for the players, etc. Because basically what they had done is they basically changed ownership within the offseason. It was an unexpected change. And at one point the CFL took over because they basically had no owner. So they, you know, and they lost key players, you know, they lost their quarterback. I remember this so well. I remember seeing like offseason news, like kind of near the end of the season last year, after like Grey Cup and everything, and people basically saying that Trevor Harris was a lock to just stay in Montreal. Like, okay, yeah, cool, like he'll probably stay, like why wouldn't he? A week or two later is when all that news dropped. Trevor Harris has gone to Saskatchewan. What? Like, it's just so many changes. Geno Lewis leaves, huge guy, you know, on the offense that like basically was the face of their franchise, I would argue, right? Obviously VA as well was very important before he left to BC, but like big changes. Lots of also negative news saying like, you know, that they weren't, it just was kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
All that to say is that equaled people underestimating them. And so right now, you know, Cody Fajardo, who, for those who don't know, Trevor Harris was the quarterback. He's a veteran quarterback who played for Montreal last year. Cody Fajardo, also a veteran at this point, played for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. They basically switched places. It wasn't a trade, but it feels like a trade. And yeah. So Cody Fajardo stepped into Montreal, and people weren't happy with him. Like, the fans weren't happy with him in Saskatchewan. So I guess, like, all of us were like, we don't really know what he's going to bring to the table in Montreal. Jason Moss, who's also who became the head coach in Montreal, so another change. It was a coaching change as well, head coach for Montreal, used to play with Cody, or sorry, used to work with Cody earlier in his career, like with Saskatchewan earlier as well. And so basically people thought, like, it's just going to be a repeat. There's going to be failures, et cetera. They lost many people. They didn't know what's going to happen. And turns out they were wrong, because Austin Mack comes into the picture, right? Great receiver that blew things up. I swear first few weeks had 100+ yards, like regularly. He was a regular 100+er. but that's the thing. So that's the picture that we have of Montreal now, is like, they are almost like a dark horse, can dominate. And actually last year they were like that a little bit too. They made it quite far, but BC and Montreal, like Vernon Adams Jr., the quarterback for BC, he used to play Montreal last year. He left like mid-season. So that's like a revenge game. I don't know if it's revenge or just wants to like come back home, so to speak, and like do his thing. But also they're both kind of fighting for second place a little bit there. Like I think Montreal's one win away from BC, sorry, third place, for third place in the whole league. So there's that element as well, but yeah, it's so hard to tell what's going to happen. But I mean, Montreal has home field advantage, so I don't know.
They do. Like, I'm looking at the standings right now, like Montreal's at 6-4 and BC's at 7-4. So it's also keeping ahead with first place, because obviously you have 9-2 and 8-1 that are first place in each division, if you will. But when I said the roller coaster thing with Montreal earlier, it's because like how early on in the season, like, look, they'd have a game where they're good and then they have a game where they're like iffy. It's like even Toronto, they were the first team that truly tested Toronto early on in that week six game, when Toronto basically had a very similar performance to what they did against Calgary. I know too, this is a team like with new ownership, they want a great cup, but it's just like, okay, you're going to have to either build yourself a new stadium, which I don't know where in Montreal you do that. Because you know they're not going to hold it at Molson Stadium, just because it's too small of a stadium to host the Grey Cup. Or you go to Olympic, but Olympic needs a lot of work, so it's like a rock and a hard place. But this is an organization, like, when you look at it, after this, like, their next three games are three true prove-it games, with obviously one being in Toronto and then two at home. So if you can get out of this stretch, like, say they get lucky and hand Toronto a loss, or if they overcome the odds and beat BC, basically it's just, look, fortune's in your favor. It's like all the luck is in your favor going forward. It's like how I said earlier with Toronto. Whoever loses this game, it doesn't feel like it could be a bit of a morale buster in the sense of like what direction you go to, or maybe a game late, like in a month from now, like around Thanksgiving, that wasn't must win, that now, hey, you kind of got to win, because look, Hamilton, is only two games back. And then with out West, Saskatchewan and then Calgary and Edmonton, they're all kind of wild cards at the moment. Like, they've shown flashes where they're not good, but then like with Calgary, we'll get into them later. Like, Calgary's got some guys on their team that can play. Like, they've just had such bad luck this year as well. So there's still a lot to prove in these last few weeks of the season, that a win this Saturday for either team could really change the organization on how your season's going to go.
That's kind of how it feels for the whole weekend. Like, every single game could go a weird way. I would argue that the Argos game is the least likely, just because of their track record and Hamilton's track record overall the season. But the other games, like, there could be, they could, any team could disrupt any team, essentially, right? And it makes a big difference over time, not necessarily because of that one win in terms of points, but because of the momentum. Like, imagine if the Riders beat the Bombers. Like, that's throwing off everything we know about the Bombers in our minds. Not that, like, the Riders, for example, have a better record within the series, the Labor Day series. They are coming off a bye week. They're playing at home. There's obviously advantages. They've been doing well, but it's still, the Bombers are supposed to be, let's just say, a better team, right? And especially the last few years. They won last year. They won Labor Day game last year as well. So, like, it's just, there's a lot of question marks, but I think that makes it exciting because, like I said, like last year or the years before, I mean, 2021 was a shorter year because of COVID. 2020 was canceled because of COVID. So the last time, I would argue, was 2019 that we saw real teams at their full potential, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, we're back to that area where there's competition across the board. So many quarterback changes, whether it was, injuries, that, you know, other guys were coming in or changes in the off season. And we're getting to a point now where we're really seeing that, like, those changes made a difference and that there's just legit competition in the CFL. You love to see that. Like, I feel like the Elks could surprise us. I feel like they could go off on a streak and then we could be like, hold up, well, they're suddenly in the playoffs, and you just never know. Right. But, specifically this weekend, it's a huge deal. And like you said, like there's going to, like, we're going to see every game matter so much. And we're going to see a lot riding on these games that will continue on into the next half of the season.
That's exactly it. Because with, like, this is how teams can change. Cause that's the thing, like, where 2021, you could have a bad year, and then 2022, you're there. That's why the CFL, there's so much parity, where 1 year you're king of the castle, and the next year you're in the basement. Like, quickly too, like, even when I look at the odds, like, with the BC Montreal game, it's 63% of the money's coming in for BC and 37 Montreal. But for Sunday, 72% of people think that the Blue Bombers are betting towards the Blue Bombers winning the football game. I feel like, look, both, like you said, Saskatchewan's not that they got more to prove, but this feels like a game where I think whoever wins, it's going to be a statement victory, because for Saskatchewan, it's a win that can turn your season around. Or for Winnipeg, it's just the, we're coming in, you can't do anything to stop us. You could press against the door, but they're just going to kick the door down and just run the ball through you. And even the fact, too, with them, they have so many, not the fact that they have so many stars, but the two of their four biggest players are Canadian, which makes a huge difference, a huge deal, especially in a league like this. But when I look at Winnipeg and Saskatchewan in the Banjo Bowl, I'm going to say this. I think Winnipeg's going to win, but I honestly wouldn't be shocked if we saw an upset here, just because it's one of those moments where, look, you have, like you said, Saskatchewan coming off the bye, Winnipeg coming off big victories. Am I almost talking to myself, and is Saskatchewan getting the upset here Sunday night? Because I think I might be.
I mean, I feel like a lot of people are open, like more open to that than ever, right? That, like I said, like that the Riders might really disrupt things. I will say, though, the Bombers are one of those teams that, and we've seen it a lot this season, they look like they're kind of maybe, hey, whoa, are the Bombers getting beat first couple quarters, like first half of a game, then dominate. Like, they'll rack up like 20 plus points within what, like one quarter, you know what I mean? So they have the potential to switch up real quick if their defense is locked in, if they're often, if Dalton Schoen is like looking like this as Zach Kolaros, they'll have touchdown to touch. This guy has like back-to-back touchdowns in multiple games, I feel like. Like, so there's, the Bombers really can just dominate. But it really, it depends on what's, you know, it just really depends on momentum. It depends on how also locked in the Riders are. But I mean, the Riders defense has been pretty good so far. So I feel like you just never know. Like, honestly, like that's the thing is, if you asked me last year, I'd have been like, of course the Bombers, da da da. This year, oh my God, get your popcorn. Like, your bets are legit. You're refreshing the betting app. Because I don't even, like, now that we're talking about it, I'm like, hold up, maybe the Riders got this. But, you know, it could go in so many directions. But what I do like about the Riders this season is, like, there's an ease to their offense. Like, if you see Samuel Amalis, you know, Sean Bain Jr., like, the way that they've handled the ball, the way that they've gone about things has been, it just felt like it flows. And I think if they're able to continue that, if they're able to just kind of like go with the flow and let the chemistry with Dolagala just continue, I think that they can really like surprise us and keep scoring like just crazy touchdowns.
I also feel like too, Jason Dickinson's kind of also slowing it down to where it makes it easier for the players to execute the offense. When I look at this game here, like, look, I know for betting picks, like I said, like, am I talking to them winning or whoever's winning? I will say this right now. I think this is a low-scoring game. I think this is a defensive battle. The under is at 47.5 right now. So when I look at that, I'm just like, I can easily see a game where, look, there could be fireworks for all we know, but I feel like this is a game that's just, it's going to be won by defense more than offense, because, like you're saying, if the Saskatchewan defense comes to play, it's going to be a long day for the Bombers, but at the same time, too, for all we know, the Bombers can go out there and put up 40. I just see the fact, though, that they put up 40 last week. I just can't see them doing it in back-to-back weeks, because we'll get into them in a second, but we talked to them before. If there's only one team I trust to put up 30 in consecutive games for reasons, because they've done it all year in every game but one. But that's just the way I look at that game. Like, if I were to bet money, which I think I may, because why not? It's Labor Day weekend. Let's have some fun. I like that under of 47.5, and for this to be a defensive football game.
100%. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like you were mentioning, I think the Bombers defense is also really, it's known to be one of the best, you know. You've got some, you know, great veterans who know what they're doing and who have definitely, like, that's the thing too. The Riders versus Bombers rivalry is massive, right? Yes. Like, of course, Toronto versus Hamilton is, but when you compare East versus West in the CFL, like, the West, it's the fandom is different. The stakes are higher. So with that comes...
The passion's higher.
Exactly, right? Like, it doesn't mean that, you know, again, Argos, Hamilton, like, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be a big competition there. But I would argue that, like, the West is totally just the players know what's at stake. They know this is a huge deal. So I think everybody's going to be on their A game. It'll just be a matter of who's able to rack up those numbers. Or like you said, if the defenses are able to really make a difference, like I think, and I love it. I think it's just kind of an up in the air thing. I have a feeling, and it might not be the Riders game, that we're going to see a wild upset this weekend. Like, you can quote me on that. Like, there's going to be one game that's just absolutely absurd, I have a feeling.
It wouldn't shock me just because it's that time of the year where you just, like, you see that, like how you're saying, how you said earlier, the season doesn't begin till now. I agree with that in a sense, kind of like, because people say this is the NFL season where NFL doesn't really start for a lot of teams until Thanksgiving, when you truly know who are the teams that have a chance to win it all. With the CFL, I feel like this is a chance for teams that, hey, if you had a bad first half, one win on Labor Day weekend can turn your entire fortunes around. I agree with you. I think we're going to see one game where there's a goofy team that everything clicked right for them that day, and they've managed to find a way to win, whether that be Montreal, whether that be Saskatchewan, whether it be Hamilton or Edmonton. We'll have to find out, and we'll have to find a way and wait and see. But with that being said, we do have Toronto-Hamilton. We've got both big provincial games Monday. I only say the passion's higher out west because for them, I know the Winnipeg, they have the Jets, but for Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, they're ingrained in this football. Like, for them, this football for them is bigger than – what the NFL is for a lot of Ontario people, for what it is for a lot of people probably in BC too and other places, where the CFL, not that it's viewed, like, I know it's big in Hamilton, but for out there, it's like, it's life for them. Like, they basically live and breathe with the Bombers. They live and breathe with the Riders. It's a reason why there's 30,000 people going to these stadiums on a random Thursday night in the middle of August. So it's just, it's ingrained in them. It's in the fabric and it's in the passion. But we're going to see passion at Tim Hortons Field Monday. I know the parking lot's open at 6:30 in the morning, I think I saw it was, where people are going to be tailgating all day. We're going to have to get there early. I'm ready to pay $30 to park in someone's driveway or in that random plaza where there's the Freshco right next to the church. So we'll have to wait and see for that. But Toronto versus Hamilton, and the only thing I'll say here is, I think unlike the Sunday game, give me fireworks, because why? It's the Toronto Argonauts and they know how to put up points. But the only thing I will say with that is, though, if this game is a shootout, I don't like Hamilton, because I know when it's a shootout game, Hamilton just doesn't have, I think, the offensive firepower to keep up with the other team. Kind of like how we saw that the two games with Toronto this year already, we saw that against Montreal, and especially that weird weather game against Edmonton, which you were at.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely respect this Hamilton Tiger Cats organization team. I just think that the Argos, the way that they've been going all season, I think there's no way that they're going to, like, this is the game they're going to be a little annoying. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, does that make sense? They want to show off in this game. They want to go off. And when you bring that type of energy, they're already dominating, so they're already confident. When they're bringing that kind of energy to Tim Hortons Field on Labor Day weekend, it's just dangerous for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. It's not to say that the Tiger Cats can't, you know, rack up some numbers and do their thing. I just think ultimately the Argos are going to be in a different zone. And I don't just mean this with the Ticats. I mean this across the board in the whole league. Like, they, no matter who this team was, they have that energy. But obviously the rivalry does bring that out a little bit more. So yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Argos. I think maybe the Ticats will have that excitement a little early on. But I have a feeling that once the Argos get going, it's just going to be a wrap.
it's going to be curtains, because, like, I remember after Calgary, I asked about this. I said, hey, how do you take this momentum into Hamilton? And they're basically saying that, like, look, we know that they're going to be up for this game. We know, like, everyone knows that this is a game Hamilton's going to be getting up for. But I like Toronto to go out there and show off, because, look, we've seen it all year. Plus, two, they know that this for them could be a statement game. I feel like I say that in the sense of last week they didn't play the best. you go into a team. Look, because Hamilton's on a high right now. They got a win. They got a convincing win in BC when no one saw that coming. I even thought BC was going to go out there and kill them, to be honest with you. I thought it was going to be like a 20-point. Like when I said this, I was like, Lions and Tigers, but the Lions are going to maul the Tigers. Flip the animals around, and it was the opposite way. But, this could be the weird game, though, that's like Hamilton just like shows up, and because they know that if they win on Monday night, that place is going to be loud. 100%. But I'll say this too. The Argos have a secret weapon on their side when it comes to loud, because at practice today, the Snowbirds were going. So they're going to be ready. They know what to expect. I feel like they know what to expect. And you're catching a Hamilton team that's a little bit on their high horse right now. So they're either going to stay on that horse or they're going to get knocked off. We're just going to have to wait until Monday afternoon at 3:30 to find out which direction it goes in. Also say this too. I love the game time. I love that it's not like a 1 o'clock kickoff or like it's a like late night would have been cool, but I love that 3:30 smack in the middle of the afternoon kickoff time for this game.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, and that's the thing, like it's, you never know with the CFL, right? Things can change in the last couple minutes of any game. So it's hard to say, even if there is a really favored team, it's hard to say. And when the home stadium, especially a passionate fan base like the Hamilton Tiger Cats, is supporting the team, is coming out, is tailgating 6 a.m., is spending the day, you know, starting early to support the Tiger Cats. Like, you don't know what kind of impact and influence that can have on a team. So, you know, I'm excited for Tiger Cats fans. I'm excited for the Tiger Cats organization. I will say this every single time. James Butler, guys, if you want to watch the Tiger Cats, lock your eyes on number 9, because this guy is incredible. He will make something happen out of nothing. And so, you know, again, like if he's able to dominate like he did in BC, who's to say that the Tiger Cats can't have a chance? And again, that's what I love about this league. And it's the perfect thing, you know, perfect momentum or perfect energy for like a rivalry, a big rivalry game.
Exactly. Like where there's the fans that like hate each other. There's like, so like my one side of the family, like they love the Argos. They stuff. They basically take the Oski Wee Wee the lyrics that I'm not going to say on the air, but I love doing this just because we have to add the betting aspect. I want to see what a James Butler touchdown is worth, because that's the one thing I noticed with Toronto is that sometimes they have trouble and they're not available yet, but when they are available, I'll shoot you a text. They have trouble in the tackle game. And we also saw this too against Calgary, and we saw this against Ottawa. If you run the ball on them, they've been having trouble. Calgary did it. Darren Crum, who looked Ottawa for as down to the dumps as they looked in the last few games, Darren Crum still managed to run around and get some plays off. That's why I love a game like this, to where I feel like it's going to be a shootout, because like, I expect Toronto to go in there and put up 30, and who's to say Hamilton's not going to go in there? Because like I said, they're going to be up for this game. Orlando Steinauer is going to have everything. Plus two, Scott Milanovic, I know he hasn't been with Toronto for a long time, but he has a history in Toronto, so he may know like what's up. Or even if you watch games against like the two Calgary games or the Ottawa game, it kind of made the blueprint on, hey, how can you stop the Argos? Because like I was saying earlier, penalties have been the other one, too, because penalties have really put Toronto in some trouble in the recent games. But then, too, if one unit's not working, the other unit picks it up. Or like I said, too, you always have that ace in the hole named Javon Leak.
Oh, my God. I was actually going to mention Javon Leak. Shout out to Javon Leak for scoring. It was his fourth punt return for a touchdown this
all-time single season record.
I mean, and he was so sweet. He was like, I'm going to give this ball to my mom. He was so happy, as you should, Javon. And that's the thing. Like, there's guys that I think, again, he was there last year, I believe. And he was like, nobody thought, not that like they thought he was, you know, he's always a good player, but we didn't see that potential come out till this season. And so there are some guys that will just show up in ways that you don't necessarily expect or you didn't see previously until this season when they're getting that chance and that momentum. He's incredible. So I'm just so proud. But yeah, I mean, James Butler, I would actually love to know what the odds are for that, because I mean, I can only assume that they're going to give him the ball 100 million times, because he really just doesn't give up when he runs the ball.
Because that's just it though, because like, he doesn't give up. He knows how to run the ball. So it's like, hey, if you're going to be Toronto, you're going to do it on your feet. I believe it's still going to be Taylor Powell starting on Monday, excuse me. But then Bo Levi should be back soon. But at the same time, too, this is another game where if Hamilton somehow sneaks out the win, it's like, okay, We've beaten BC. We've beaten Toronto on Labor Day in our own house.
Oh, that would be wild,
bro. You've got Ottawa coming up on Friday. So it's just this thing now where it's like, who's to stop us? Plus, two with Hamilton. Apart from hosting, it's the fact that they haven't won since the turn of the millennium. That's the other thing with them, too, where every other team has a Grey Cup from 2010 onward. Hamilton doesn't have one from 99 onward. So it's just for them, there's just that extra X factor to go out there and get the win. So we'll see what happens. But ultimately, like I said, I think Club Dub is going to reside in the visiting locker room Monday afternoon.
Club Dub. Oh, my God. I love it. And that's the problem is I'm one of those people, I cannot hide my emotions. And I'm not biased. I'll say it like it is. But when you mention the Argos, my face lights up because Club Dub is real. They do be racking up those dubs, you know, and they've really proved that, like, they can. I agree. I think Hamilton will try, and I think we're gonna be impressed in a way, but I don't think they're gonna ultimately get the win, you know.
Yeah, I feel like this is gonna be a game like the spread's at about 7.5 right now. I still feel like there's a chance that that's covered. I feel like this is a touchdown kind of game, but where there's just one difference, and when it comes to the difference makers, like Friday night, I ultimately see Toronto just being that, having the upper hand on this. But then when you go out west for the Monday night game, For as good of a story as Hamilton's been, I'm sorry, this is a retribution game for Calgary just because they've got a sour taste in their mouth from how they lost. Plus two, only having the one home win on the year, you get Edmonton in there where it's kind of like, hey, people think they've won two in a row. Can they do it? I think this is a game where you look at it where you have to go, Calgary's got it. I'll say this too, Jake Mayer is impressing the hell out of me this year. The kid can throw the ball. Reggie Bagleton, like, he came out of nowhere and balled out on Friday night where I was just like, oh, my God, this guy's just catching everything. Luther, I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. Same thing, too. He had a touchdown. But that's the thing with Calgary where I'm like, you give them an inch, you give them a mile, because we saw there was the one penalty on the they were going for a field goal, got the first down, next play, boom, touchdown. So that's where I feel like Dave Dickinson can go in there and know how to control the pace of the game overall. And like I said, dude, for Calgary, it's just been a bad luck year. So this right here is a game, Edmonton-Calgary, where I feel like you win this game. Sure, it's 2-9 against 3-8. Going to 4-8 sounds a lot better than going to 3-9, because if you can get that fourth win this weekend, it's like kind of the same thing with Hamilton, if they win, where it's like whoever wins this game, it's that who's stopping you. But like I said, for the fact that Calgary almost beat Toronto again, and they're going in, and they're at home, I'm just like, I got to say that the Stampeders will just stampede on Monday night.
I'm going to go against you. I'm so sorry. I know. I think this Edmonton Elks team, this version of them.
I like Trey Ford. I'll say that. I really like Trey Ford.
I love Trey Ford. And he's a great person. He's a Canadian quarterback to the core, played in U Sports, you know, Waterloo. But here's the thing. When you've been at rock bottom, when you as a team, as an organization, have been at rock bottom, and by rock bottom, if people don't know, the Edmonton Elks had a 22-game home losing streak, which was the highest in history North America ever. They literally made history this year. Crazy. They didn't have a win. They were 0-9, so they didn't even win away for like a big chunk of the first half of the season. Lost their president, and I believe he was the general manager, general manager.
Victor Cui.
Victor Cui had come into Edmonton, I believe, last year, right before last year. He's very like innovative in terms of social media and promotion and marketing and whatnot. He did amazing. He's a great guy, but they parted ways right after, I think, the 22nd home loss, or was it the home loss or the 20th? I don't know. But right before this past couple of weeks, before the Edmonton game where, before the home win. Anyways, all that to say is there was a change in the offensive coordinator. Jarius Jackson took over as offensive coordinator. Stephen McAdoo was there before. He's doing some other stuff with the Elks right now. But all that to say, there's been crazy changes at quarterback. We started with Taylor Cornelius, who got paid a lot of money to be the starter and to be that guy for Edmonton. He was not that great. I'm so sorry, Taylor. Replacing with Jared Daigie. He was okay for one. He was a couple games he did okay, but nothing to put our whole teams back on. People were saying, Trey Ford, Trey Ford, Trey Ford, please get him in. Finally, they do. And look at them now. oh my goodness, I can't even talk about it. Trey Ford can run the ball like crazy. This guy just like James Butler, he doesn't give up. He will run, go through anybody. He's really fast, scores touchdowns himself, also passing the ball, doing incredible. Like, he's just really shaking things up to the point where I honestly think that this Edmonton Elks team is a totally different team the second half of the season. Obviously, Geno Lewis injured as well for a while. It's really unfortunate. He's back. He scored a touchdown in the last game, which was their home. Finally, they won at home, which is this week that just passed. And he helped with that as well. I think that's only going to continue. You know, we have veterans like Manny Arsenault as well on offense. Steven Dunbar Jr., I think not this game that just passed, but the one before, went off when he was in Hamilton. He used to play for Hamilton, so he went off at his former home. I think that they are developing something that, yes, they're still new. It's still raw. We don't know what to expect, but I think that their momentum and their energy, they've been so low that they're just like, I can't do this anymore. And I think they have they're going to put all their cards on the table. They're 1-2 straight. They're going to get a third, I think, at McMahon against their rivals. I don't know. Cause you said Jake Mayer, you were impressed by Jake Mayer. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't. And it's funny just because the hype around him after the Bo Levi stuff was massive. And I'm not saying he didn't perform well. There's games where he really did. But I don't think that if you were to compare the quarterbacks, not that like you can just magically compare them, and they're not exactly the same, obviously. They don't have the same experience either. But if you just were to compare it right off the bat, Trey Ford is, I think, in a separate section. And I think he's going to be similar to Chad Kelly, different, of course, but similar. I think he's going to be one of those guys that just stays as starter somewhere, whether it's with Edmonton, obviously this year, but who knows the future, but he's going to be one of those guys.
Yeah. Because I was looking at it today with the Chad Kelly signing, where I look at all the quarterbacks in the league and I'm like, okay, like he's not saying earlier, like fans can attach themselves to like BC. I'll say they do. Trey Ford feels like that guy that like, it's still, I've started saying this expression because I love using it for football players. But it's like when you're cooking steak and you just don't throw it on the grill raw and expect it to taste good, that you got to like let it marinate, let it like, you know, let the flavors soak in. It's kind of the same thing with a football player with development, where, look, you can't just throw them on the field and expect greatness immediately. They got to work their way up to it, kind of like how Chad Kelly's proven himself in this contract. I feel like Trey Ford's in that stage now where he's got all the tools, he's got the traits, and he's got the personality to be that person, but you got to give him some time to get there. I'm just, like I was saying, I was just impressed more or less with Jake, the way he can throw the ball and he just can go out there and chuck it. Obviously, like, he did make some mistakes, but it's just the fact that the fact that we're down 14-0 and that he just managed, hey, we're going to go out here, chuck two touchdowns up, like I was saying, to how Bagleton went off, because there was someone on Calgary
who was off. Bagleton went off.
Yeah, he had like two or three touchdowns, but he also had like, I think at least 160 or 170 yards in that game receiving. So that's the thing though with Calgary, where I feel like they're a very high risk, high reward team, where they'll take the risks, but then they know they'll take the risks knowing that if they don't get them, they're probably going to lose. But if they get if they play that high risk offense, it can either go in their favor. I just like them on Monday just for that retribution factor. And just because too, I feel like it wouldn't shock me. Like I said, it wouldn't shock me to see any of these teams win or lose. I just think that Calgary's coming in with that chip on their shoulder, kind of like how BC's coming in with that chip on their shoulder. Even Montreal to an extent, because look, Montreal was a team that's like, hey, they're looking good. Like even Ryan did what he said after Ottawa, where he's like, hey, I don't pay attention to the standings, but I know Montreal's right on our back. So you have all these teams with something to prove. And then with Toronto, I don't think it's something to prove, but I think it's just something to build off of. It's something to really drive drive that nail through the coffin to where it's like, hey, there's a very good chance that hopefully when you and I return in 2 months, Lucas, if you're listening to this, that when we go back to Hamilton in November, it is the double blue coming out of one of those tunnels.
I mean, I would love that, of course, but just going back a little bit also to Calgary, I mean, they've struggled with a lot of injuries as well. Yes. So it's you know, Kadeem Carey, who is one of the best running backs in the league, was out for, I actually didn't check the update. So I don't know if he's able to make it this Labor Day, but he was out, as well as Tommy Lee Lewis, I believe, one of the receivers.
That's who I was thinking. Yes. Tommy Lee Lewis was out Friday.
Well, I'm not saying without them, they can't you know, of course, again, like Reggie Bailton did what he did, and that was amazing. But it is hard, right, when your offense is missing these key guys that you're relying on. So I feel for them for sure. But yeah, I mean, one thing I will say about Trey Ford, and this is just something that just came to my mind right now, so I'll just throw it out there, is what makes him unique as a quarterback is the youth sports aspect. He's played Canadian football since from the beginning. I think that that's an advantage that I think a lot of times when CFL, like, we're used to American quarterbacks, and for good reason. They're incredible. Yes. You know, in the States, they are developed in a way that a lot in schools here, we don't, you know, we focus on hockey maybe more than we do on football from like a young age. But that said, I think there is something to be said for a quarterback that started in Canadian football, played in Canadian football his whole career and dominated. So it's just, you know what, like you said, like, you just don't know. You just don't know. And Toronto, I mean, going back to what you said about Toronto, like I said, I can't hide my bias. I'm not even biased in a way that I'll say something just because it's Toronto, but I'm just really excited for that team. And I really think that ultimately it'll be Bombers in Toronto again in the Grey Cup. So
I still feel like that too, but like, even going to the point of where I can see a chance where Hamilton's going to want to come out, and they're going to want to come out hard, is because there's probably all that talk for them where it's like, do you really want Toronto coming back to this building at all this year? Obviously, it's Hamilton's home, but for Hamilton, it's more or less go knock the king off their pedestal. Like, I want to say this right now, and for all of the isms that you and I have thrown out, I feel like this is the perfect podcast title, but I say it for football, where it's any given Sunday. For this week, it's any given Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. So, you basically, that's what it just feels like. Like, the CFL is so unpredictable to the sense of where it's like anything can happen, but ultimately, like I said, with Toronto, it's that you ride with them until they prove you wrong. It's like anything. And even like with Calgary too, you have all these players, like, you've had all this bad injury luck, like I said, no Tommy Lee Lewis, but then it's just like, if they can get everything clicked right, I feel like it's just the thing that can turn their season around. And also to beating a rival, it's just, there's a feeling to that. And even like Chris Jones, I watched his the Edmonton post game video after they beat Ottawa. And he's just like, guys, just remember this feeling. Remember how good it feels, because for them, used to losing. And even, we even talked about him, where people wanted him fired, but the Elks financially couldn't do it because it would just end up costing them so much more money to have not this guy coach your team. So with that being said, you have nine teams. Actually, I'm going to say eight, because for as cool as the story Ottawa was, I just feel like that glass slipper's turned back into a pumpkin. That's the carriage has turned back into a pumpkin for Ottawa for as much. Because like, I even remember telling you where I was just like, I remember, I think that was the first time you and I met, where I said, I could see every team winning but Ottawa and Edmonton. I'm still going to say that, but I feel like Edmonton's that team where if they get a third win in a row, it's kind of that, hey, it's us against the world mentality. Like, who is stopping us? Like, that's the thing with them. So a win for all these teams means so much in so many different ways. But at the same time, too, for as much as a win means a loss for some of these teams, I think, can really put a wrench in your plans to be back in, to go to Hamilton come November 19th.
It's huge, honestly. And it's that's what makes it fun. That's why, yes, I'm so excited for this weekend. It's like the stakes are high. And you know, for me, like, in terms of the top teams, right? Yeah. I think that we're not, this is my argument, not even argument, but obviously we're going to see a lot the next few, the last half of the season and the next few days. We're going to see a lot about how these teams perform, and we're going to make judgments and assess based off of that. But for me, the biggest thing is that Toronto versus Bombers game, which I think is like in week 17. And we haven't seen them play yet each other again since the Grey Cup last year. To me, that says, we'll say it all. It will literally say it all. And it doesn't mean that if, let's say, Bombers or Argos win that game, that they won't, if they meet again in the Grey Cup, they won't be able to, you know, beat each other, like whoever the opposite person can, or opposite team can beat the other team. But I think we haven't really seen that game that we need to see to like make that full assessment. Because yes, the Lions, for example, we saw them play against the Argos. VA had those six picks, which was like the first, you know, it was like the biggest, the first stumble, let's just say, for the Lions, that was very apparent. But VA still, I think he threw still for over like 300, 400 yards that game. And he was able to continue some success as well. So like, but the Lions, for example, as the third team that were the top three ones that can really like win the Grey Cup based off of the conversations that we're all having in offseason, during the season is
the
Lions are more like up in the air, and they don't have that pedigree. And not that they haven't won the Grey Cup before, but it's not recent, right? No. So these guys that are on this team might, a lot of them have not necessarily seen that themselves, right? They recently got to that point where, we can maybe win a Grey Cup, we can make it to the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas Argos and Bombers are already in that space. So once we see those two guys go head to head, I think, and it's further in the season, so it's pretty much basically the end of the season at that point, we're going to get a way better picture. I think that's going to be like a life-changing moment for us. For me.
Okay, so I've said this many times, but like I said, I'll have to probably change the podcast title after your rant there, which I just loved it. But that BC Toronto game, I always remember this too. The Toronto was an underdog going into that game, where I still feel like people were like, I don't know, I still feel like that was the coming out party for Toronto. Where I even remember after the Hamilton game, I talked to Roberts and Daniel, and he told me, he's like, no one's targeted me, like. No one's, like, his target share went down significantly after that three-pick game where he barely saw the ball against Hamilton and Montreal. So it's just that thing where that was the coming-out party for them. But I feel like that Toronto-Winnipeg game is truly going to be viewed as a potential Grey Cup preview, because I remember everyone back in week one was saying Winnipeg and Hamilton, like, that's the Grey Cup preview. But then the Argos home opener, boom, Chad Kelly, three rushing touchdowns. There's been so many threes, like then the three picks by Robertson. You had the DeForest Daniels three touchdown game. You had then last Friday where there's just a share of the ball going around to every single player. And even to a guy like Curley, who's getting in there making plays. You have Dejan Brissett making plays. You have Cam Phillips making plays. Even on the defensive side of the ball, you have the guy who I feel like there's always a toothpick near his mouth, and Winton McManus,
McManus.
Oh, same. that's why I asked him one time. I was just like, do you ever not have a toothpick near you? Like, even during practice, too, when he's not doing something, he always has it in his mouth.
It's so, just like, yeah.
That's just it. So there's just this league has so much potential, and there's just, like, I feel like we're waiting for that powder keg to explode of who's going to be there in October. I say October just because that's when the playoff picture starts to assemble. Like, I feel like at the point, I would have to say right now, you probably have four spots locked up. I'd say, unless their seasons go off the rails, I would say BC, Winnipeg, Montreal, and Toronto. Those are the four teams that you have. And then you right now have, I'll still throw Ottawa in there, where, because, like, look, for all I know, I'm saying where I said the thing about the pumpkin earlier, they still have a chance to turn their season around, especially too when you're coming off a bye and you have Hamilton coming in off a short week. So we'll see what happens there. But it's like I'm saying before, it's just this weekend, it just feels like for teams that it's just a different meaning for, hey, what it's basically, are you going to get on the direction where you're going to keep going full speed on the highway, or are you going to just take the exit ramp and call it a season? So that's ultimately what I think is the path of where both teams in Toronto and Hamilton, and where all nine of these teams are still have somewhere to go.
100%. I mean, like, I'm just going to be consuming every single piece of information that I can in the last half of the season, because, like you said, you never know. Like, you just don't know where it's going to go. And then it makes it fun, right? For people who are first timers watching the CFL or are betting on the CFL. but it's true. You're right. Like, everything you said, agreed.
That's just it. But you know what? I know we've done this before. Last time, like, look, there was the echo problem, so it wasn't what it was. This time, it seems like there's perfect audio, so there's nothing wrong with there. I know this is also too funny because, guys, Sarah's the first ever person that I've met in person from the football side of things that came on here. So asking someone in person, pretty cool thing to do. But anyway, I'm going to see you on Monday. Guys, enjoy this weekend of football, whether you're watching college, whether you're gearing up for the NFL or your fantasy drafts like I am. And, like, look, too, if you want to watch some professional football, the CFL is there on CBS Sports Network. If you're in the States or if you're in Canada, you know where to find it on that three-letter network we love and know as TSN. But anyway, guys, that's going to wrap it up here for episode 243 of YWC Football Talk. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend and enjoy all four of these CFL games.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first five episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all three of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Arianna Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.